Call the Board Commission meeting of the Port of Houston Authority to order. And first item on the agenda today will be, I'd like to make a couple of quick remarks. First thing I'd like to say, I really appreciate everybody coming here today. It's great to see a full room again. I mean, we've been having these meetings with an empty room and it's just not the same. So we welcome participation. We welcome folks coming and seeing what's going on at their port. And we welcome the employees, especially coming down here and participating and getting involved. So thank you for being here. And I think we're going to have a great meeting today. Our chairman, Rick Campo, is with us virtually, and I'll be sitting in for him. I'll try to fill his shoes. It's not easy, but Rick, I'll give it a shot. All right.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. No, I'm good. I'm sorry I'm not filling the room with you, but I had some previous commitments on the West Coast, including, you know, the 60-something degree weather we have right now, but...
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I knew we were going to hear about that. Well, we got you back, and everybody's here but you, so I appreciate you joining us.
Like Tahoe considered the West Coast?
Sort of.
He's on the West Coast of Lake Tahoe.
Let's hope it's not the West Coast.
But, you know, it's all positive. It's all good here in the Port of Houston. I travel around to a lot of ports, and I don't see anything even comparable to what we're experiencing here. I mean, you look out the window, there's ships loading and discharging. There's longshoremen working, truck drivers going back and forth, tugboats going up and down the channel. People are working, people are making money, and our port is moving forward. There's just so much great things going on, lots of cargo, lots of jobs. We have a great jobs program here at the port that we're working. I mean, it's difficult to fill jobs, everybody knows, but I think we're starting to catch up, and it's improving. And I think the reason it's improving is that we're all working together, and everybody's pulling in the same direction, and a unified team will always win. So we have a unified team here, and we're going to continue to win. We have a big agenda today. We've got about $150 million in awards that we're going to be considering, And I think that's an indication of the investment that we're making in the future of our port. And I think this is a very good signal to the whole community that the port is growing and that we're going to continue to grow and that we're going to serve our city and our county and our region. Immediately following this meeting, we're going to have a business equity meeting. Wendy will be chairing that meeting. With a lot of good things going on over there. Appreciate the work you're doing in that business equity committee.
Group effort.
And of course the staff. I mean, the staff here is second to none. Everybody does this a spectacular job. I can't start naming individuals one by one. I would be here all morning, but everybody gets the job done. I have complete confidence in this staff to do the right thing and deliver for the people, taxpayers of Harris County. So we really appreciate what you're doing, and we just look forward to working with you going forward. We're also got a lot of good things going on with the community. I mean, the programs put in place in the Community Relations Committee, I think is bearing fruit. The grant process seems to be very popular. The parks program is huge. Roy has been instrumental in that, and East Harris County, we're doing some great things in Houston. We're getting a lot of positive feedback. We're finally going to be hopefully closing out the deal over here at Harbor Street, and just a lot of good things going in the community. Environmental stewardship, a lot of really good things going on there. We'll be talking about more about that later, but I just want everybody to know that the Port of Houston and the commissioners and the entire team here is committed to environmental stewardship and making our community and our region a cleaner and healthier place to live. Well, that concludes my remarks. Is there anything any of the other commissioners would like to say before we get started? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and consider the first item on the agenda, which is the approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made second to approve the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion is passed. Now we are going to have our staff reports, and Roger is going to give us financial and operational matters.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm going to be a little bit light on operational update today and heavy on some important recognitions of some of our employees that are well deserved. But through the halfway point of 2022, business is still strong across the board. Total tonnage across all of our docks at Port Houston facilities are up 24% for the year. General cargo has doubled through June, through the first half of the year versus 2022. As Dean said, you can look outside and, I mean, there's a container ship out there today as well to boot. So general cargo is driving a lot of that volume. Steel, import steel is at levels that we haven't seen in probably close to a decade. You know, 2.7 million tons of steel. We've run an average over the last 30 years. We do about 3 million tons a year on average. So a big year, and it hadn't backed down. And of course, our container activity continues to be robust, to say the least. We've handled right at 1.9 million TEU through the midway point of this year. And it's going to be bumping up to 3.8 to 4 million TEU this year. It's going in that same direction. We're up 11% for the year. So everything's busy. And as Commissioner Corgi said, we are certainly making those investments to expedite and stay ahead of the demand curve in Houston. I'd like to do a couple things today. You know, first of all, I want everyone to join me in celebrating is not the right word. We hate to see him go, but we're happy for him. The retirement of Doug Mims. Doug joined the port 35 years ago in 1987 as a Marine firefighter. A year and a half later, he went to work on the Sam Houston and worked his way up from pilot to captain. And during the 34 years that he spent on piloting and captaining of the Sam Houston, he's welcomed over a million visitors to our port. So that's quite a long time, and you know, he shared his favorite part of working for the port are the people and all the friends he's made along the way. And we're lucky to call him a friend. I told him that I was not approving his retirement, but he refused. But he's been a leader, not, you know, for all of those. He's been a mentor for all those that have come onto the boat, and he's certainly been an ambassador for the community. And, you know, the Sam just turned 64 this past Saturday. So Doug has been the captain of that boat for over half of its life. So that's kind of like his little baby and one of his children. So we're grateful for the care and dedication that, Doug, that you brought to work every day, which kept our boat running smoothly. We're all going to miss you, and we thank you for your service, and we're going to miss you very much. And before we give him a round of applause, we're going to remember his legacy because we've recorded it. And Kelly, if you would play this.
Welcome aboard the Sam Houston. Safety is a top priority at Port Houston. Please be careful while moving around the vessel during the tour. If you need assistance of any kind, please locate one of the port ambassadors for help.
So, Doug, we're going to continue to play that to remember your impact and your commitment to the port. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've been on a lot of vessels, and when you go on a vessel, you can always tell what kind of captain is running that ship by the way the vessel, number one, the way it's maintained. That Sam Houston, he off the deck plates. I mean, he's a speaking span. It's remarkable that the age on that vessel, the way you've maintained that vessel, and the attitude of the crew. And you can tell that they respect you, and they follow you, and you're their leader, and they trust you. God bless you.
Yeah.
Hey, and he ain't a bad surfer either. I don't know if y'all know about that. thanks.
I couldn't have made it to this point without everybody's help, the commissioners, the staff, you, Roger, Jessica, Maria. Thank you all.
Where to from here?
Probably home improvement project. And our intern Mason made a suggestion, take a cruise, go to Hawaii.
There you go. I can fix you up on that. Talk to me after the meeting.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations one more time, Doug.
So another recognition I want to make is, you know, we have our READY program, and it's an employee recognition program that we have to reward and recognize the Port Houston employees who demonstrate the values of respect, excellence, accountability, diligence, and you. And it's designed to reinforce our core values based upon recognition, not from anyone else but their peers. So it's quite honorable to receive these separate awards. And when you get all four categories, then you get the Y, which stands for you, the employee, for you, those that you serve. And we've had three employees to date that received this award. And we're excited to recognize another employee for completing this achievement, and that's Azlina Bonner. And, you know, she's a HR service specialist. She's been with the port for over 8 years. And just a few things that she's done and received recognition by our peers. I mean, we went through a very tough time during COVID, especially, you know, all of us. But the HR had a lot of activity going on. We were short-staffed there for a while. She was doing the work of three open positions and was really a team player about it, handling all the COVID response that we had across the organization, nights, weekends, holidays, and she never stopped. She never complained, providing that great customer service to our employees and our retirees. Assisting the benefits team with open enrollment and getting all the employees involved and implementing a new benefits program as well. So we're really proud of Azlina for setting such a good example for what our core values are, you know, and it's very important and most importantly being recognized by our peers. So thank you again, Azlina, for you know, just being a part of the growth of our culture and making this place great. So thank you very much. All right. So we got a few other recognitions, and I'm going to turn it over to Tom, and then that'll conclude the staff.
Yes, I also get a few names that have been around for a while. One is retiring today, is his last day. So he didn't know I was going to do this until about 5 minutes ago, but Jack Hines, can you stand up? Jack has been a police officer for the port since February 22nd of 91, so 31 years ago, and today is his last day. Thanks a lot, Jack. Jack's a friend. Jack's a friend I got to know when he and I were both pulling our hair out. Obviously, he pulled out more than I did when we were doing the cruise. So he worked a lot of hours and a lot of tough times during those cruise days. Thank God we don't have cruise anymore. And I think Jack would agree to that. That was a joy to not do anymore. But thanks a lot, Jack. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I also wanted to recognize the longest tenured employee at the Port of Houston, and her anniversary is August 8th, so it's coming up next week. That will be 44 years for Yolanda Ramirez Francis. Stand up, Nessie, by. I have used the full name, but it always comes back to Nessie. She started on August 8th of 1978. Her claim to fame is the same thing that I went through. We didn't have computers back there on our desk, so it was a lot of fun. She was a manifest clerk, which we don't even do that anymore. Thanks for all your years of service, Nessie. It's been a great pleasure to work with you, and we call you my friend.
Thank you. She told me she's not going anywhere. She's like,
I don't think she is.
Did she start here at 4 years old?
You're going to have to ask her that question. And then another long-term, she's our second longest tenured person who has her anniversary on August 12th, is Carolyn Ashley. Carolyn is our Director of Employee Development. So she started 41 years ago on August 12th of 1981. Another job we don't have anymore, quote unquote, a secretary downtown.
Yeah.
That's when we actually had a building downtown. That's what we would always say, yeah, those people downtown.
Yeah.
And then as we got rid of that building, this building became downtown for all the people at Barber Scott and Bayport. Mm-hmm. So Carolyn's another good long-term friend and a colleague who has done a lot of different things that's important, and we thank her for her years of service. Now, before I pass this on to Alia for the introduction of our interns, I don't know if anybody noticed some color in this room in terms of outfits, but Fonda, would you please stand up and show off your nice-looking jacket. So this jacket started in 1987, actually 1986. I wore that, yes, it shrunk when I took it to the laundry. I wore that in 1986 to a Christmas party we had here, and the director of operations, who would now be the chief of sport operations, like Jeff, he made fun of me the whole time. I don't know why, but he did. So the next year, we used to have a where you drew names, White Elephant or whatever, Hidden Santa or whatever you call it. So I made sure I went and found who had him, and I got his. So I gave him this jacket with a couple of rules. One, you had to pass it on the next year. So Fonda gets to choose who gets it the next year. Two, you have to wear it to one port function. So this constitutes one port function. But it's been a lot of fun. Like I said, 35 people have been honored to win this jacket. Two of them actually dry cleaned. I told them don't do that again because we don't know how long it's going to last. But it's just a lot of fun we've had for a long, long time, and Fonda's the lucky winner for this year. So.
For you in the back, it actually has lions on it. So. Just wanted to make sure you do. This is not a paisley print, it's lion.
That jacket was big dollars back in the day. And we tried to do the second year in 88. I also gave him a pair of red, same kind of material pants. But we don't know what happened to those. Somebody obviously liked them a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, the next recipient is Candace Arminoff. So
that's right.
She's getting it next.
So Roger talked about investment and sort of the dean in terms of how much we're spending and the investment in our facilities. Well, we also like to invest in our future in terms of labor force. So we have an intern program every summer. We didn't obviously last year because of COVID, but this year we have. So I'm going to pass it on to Alia O'Neill so she can give a little brief introduction of what our program is, and then we're going to have each intern introduce themselves, name, school you go to, and what department you work in. So, Alia.
Good morning. I'm Alia O'Neill with our intern department. I have the pleasure working with our interns since we started the program back in 2015. It's a 12-week program that we run from the end of May to the beginning part of August to give students a very practical, hands-on approach to what we do here for Houston. We have had been on hiatus the last two summers for 2020 and 2021, so we were very happy to bring it back this summer. We have 12 interns that are with us, and I'll let them introduce themselves. The one that is not with us this morning is Michael Brooks. He goes to University of North Texas, and he's with the Emergency Management Group. But I'll turn it over to Lauren.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lauren Scott. I'm a student at Texas Southern University, and I am an operations intern at the board.
Hi, everyone. My name is Evan. I attend the University of Michigan.
Who said that?
And I work for financial planning.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nathan McCarley. I'm actually one of the rookie high school interns that were chosen for the internship. And I attend Dr. Cook Lewis Career and Technical High School. And I plan to go to Texas A&M and Galveston.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Ricardo T. Jr. I will graduate from the University College in December, and I'm an intern on every Sunday.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tom Hobbs. I'm from the University in downtown. I'll be graduating in December, and I'm with the Project Infrastructure Management.
Good morning. I am Catherine. I am a Yellow High School student. I'm recently graduated from the Same School of Medicine, Dr. Colton Lutheran High School, and I will be going to the St. Jack Maritime Campus in the fall.
Very good.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Moore. I go to the University of Houston, Campus, and I intern in Houston.
Hello, my name is Gloria Tech. I go to Texas A&M at Galveston. I'm currently interning in channel operations.
Good morning, y'all. My name is Victor Caballero. I go to A&M Galveston, and I work for the Environmental Department.
Good morning. I am Brendan. I go to Texas A&M Galveston. And I'm currently working with TBA and Facility Funds.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Arun Khemani, and I'm pursuing Master's in Industrial Engineering at University of Houston, and I'm working for the GIS and Asset Management Department.
Welcome.
Very good. Thank you. Yeah. Congratulations. Right. We need to invest in the future, and this is really a positive thing.
Great.
So really appreciate y'all participating down here, and look forward to you coming back to work in the industry. Anything else, Tom?
Nope, I'm good.
Next on the agenda is the appearances, and we have Leticia Gutierrez with the Air Alliance Houston. Is she online?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Did I get your name wrong? Because I knew it was Blaza, but I have Gutierrez here.
No, it's I don't know why it came up as a Blaza. It's Gutierrez. You're right.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Well, welcome.
And I am so sorry. My my computer just locked up on me. Can you give me just a minute?
Sure.
We're hearing you.
Okay, great. Hi, my name is Leticia Gutierrez. I'm with Air Alliance Houston. I'm the Government Relations Director and Community Outreach for the organization. As I'm sure many of you are aware, Air Alliance Houston is an environmental justice advocacy organization, and we fight really hard for to elevate a lot of the issues that our community raise around air quality concerns. I'm here this morning. I want to congratulate all the people that got the awards, by the way. That's quite an accomplishment. And all the students as well that are interning. We have high hopes for them as well. But I also want to thank the port for setting up the meeting with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers a few weeks ago to address the community concerns around environmental air quality issues. Thank you to Maria, to Rich, and to Trey. Thank you for staying committed to a lot of the issues that we still have a lot to work through, but we certainly appreciate all of the effort and the time that has been spent in trying to make these meetings happen. We have developed a plan to work through these community concerns. Because of the timing of the draft, feasibility and environmental impact study, community members were in the process of mucking out their homes and unable to provide comments. So this meeting was a demonstration of the willingness of both the port and the Army Corps to work more closely with community. And we plan to keep the port connected to the progress of the working group. We're also excited about items K2 and K3 and are glad to see the port of Houston move forward towards zero emission cranes. So thank you again and appreciate everyone's support.
Well, thank you for those comments, Leticia, and we look forward to working with you and having more success in the future. Also today, we have Stephanie Thomas with Public Citizen. Is Stephanie online?
Yes. Great. So, Chairman Campo, I want to let you know.
Courtney.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Corgi today.
Let me know too.
I just wanted to say, you know, I've been in Texas for most of my adult life and I love Texas, but if you don't mind bringing some of that 60 degree weather back, I would really appreciate it.
that would be a miracle, and I'm not that good.
Well, I just wanted to make a couple comments today, and Ms. Gutierrez, just want to echo some of the things that she said. We're really excited about the electric crane purchase that you have on today's agenda. And, you know, from my perspective, this looks like a really strong example of environmental leadership. So I want to congratulate the port on these purchases. You know, I think as Port Houston expands capacity, adding zero emissions equipment like these cranes is going to have a big impact. It's a really smart move, and it minimizes additional burdens on air quality and on community health. So, you know, one of the things that Healthy Port Communities Coalition has been advocating for is zero emissions equipment. And so we're really glad to see you all move in this direction. Of course, we want to see continued acceleration of this kind of technology at the port. It supports both health and the environment, and we want to just congratulate the port for making this decision. This is really fantastic.
Thank you very much. And we look forward to working with you as well going forward.
And great, thank
more
you.
Success. So we don't have any more appearances, Eric? Okay. Moving along, under executive, I'm going to call on Charlie Jenkins.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Good morning.
So this is a really important RCA for the strategic value of the port. The ship channel is our most important asset. With no channel, we have no port. And 100 years ago, maintenance dredging was a very significant issue in our port. It is today, and it will be as long as we're moving ships and barges. Congress funds the nation's operation and maintenance, the dredging of the maintenance of the channels through a fee they collect off of import cargo called the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund. All ports compete for that fee to maintain their waterways, and it's a very competitive situation. This study is about a tool we're working to develop to help us better advocate to get the funding necessary to maintain our port. It's as simple as that. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Commissioner?
Move we approve.
We have a motion to approve. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Motion to duly seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. At this time, I'll call on Tom Height.
So the second item under the executive section is part of the Harbor Street that Commissioner Corgi brought up earlier. This was started a couple years ago. The paperwork is flowing around very slowly, obviously, but COVID didn't help the process at all. So now we are ready, and what we have to do for any time we donate property like this to the city of Houston, we need to, for you to declare the property a surplus and authorize the donation of it to the city of Houston. So that's what this item is.
Thank you, Tom. We hear a motion. Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yeah, it's taken them two years to give away 20 acres.
Pretty much.
Now, this is the one that the councilman is going to build the ballpark over here for. You'll recall 2 or 3 years ago, right, we went through all of that. And some of the ball slipped down, I guess. Somebody's picked it back up, so I guess now they're going to put the bark in.
Okay. Well, we're going to get it done now.
Yeah.
All right. All those in favor signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
The motion's carried. Next item is business equity. Do we have anything else in the executive?
No, that's all.
Now I'm going to call on Maxine to give a report. I don't think we have any agenda items, but
no,
we'd love to hear. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Thank you.
A quick recognition. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners, and staff and guests. I want to take a moment to recognize the one-year anniversary of the new business equity division and our program. Immediately following the Port Commission meeting, the Business Equity Committee will meet, so we'll discuss the details in that meeting. But we can't speak about the last year without acknowledging our fellow colleagues. The Business Equity, legal, and procurement teams have worked tirelessly to develop the foundation and procedures for the program. Infrastructure, especially PCM and panel improvement, have partnered with us, actively engaged with our prime contractors and registered SMWDE to identify unbundling and other opportunities for their participation. IT has gone above and beyond to identify SMWDEs for technology supplies and equipment. Operations has worked diligently to identify opportunities in repair and maintenance projects. Governmental affairs, media relations, commercial, marketing, and branding have all been instrumental in communicating our program efforts. And our program would not have survived without support from our Port Commissioners, executive team, community partners, officials, and of course our SMWDE stakeholders. I just want to take an opportunity to mention a couple of accomplishments, although we'll discuss these in the committee meeting. During the past 12 months, over 150 SMWDE were registered and certified in our program, bringing the total to 1,436, of which 1,040, or 72%, are MWBEs. And for the last 12 months, approximately $58 million in awards and commitments were made to MWBE firms. The McCarthy and Tillotson SMWBE Training Partnership Initiative have or are in the final steps of completing the first cohort that impacted approximately 40 firms participating. And Port Houston completed 2 cohorts of the revamped Opportunity View Education Program with nearly 50 participants. So during the last year, we impacted or affected almost 100 SMWBE firms. Today, we have a graduate of Opportunity View Cohort 2 in attendance. Michael Zhang is co-founder of Environeer. He will share what the program has meant to him. So next, we'll hear from Michael. He has a presentation.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure being here and to say the Port of Past, Port Present, and the Port Future. So I'm Michael Zhang, Opportunity View graduate of Cohort 2. Co-founder of Environeer, a small minority-owned engineering consulting firm specializing in environmental permitting and compliance. We are committed to connecting knowledge and experience to help clients to innovatively and cost-effectively solve their environmental challenges. Over the past 2 months, Opportunity U has been one of my best friends, and the relationship with classmates, speakers, and core staff will last long after graduation. The program is designed to help local small and minority women-owned businesses better compete for and participate in Port Houston procurement. Throughout the program, we learn how to develop business fundamentals, understand government contracts and bidding processes, and help become more bankable. The program gave us the opportunity to network with Port Houston decision makers and receive mentorship from experienced professionals. Our instructors did an amazing job. For example, Mr. Earl Hughes with Level 3 Consulting passionately shared his experience in business credit, financing, and his classic triangulation pricing model. One of my classmates, Dr. Adeyemi, with Macquarie CTI Services, was awarded an over $1 million contract with Harris County by using the triangulation pricing model learned during OptinDU. We enjoyed networking with other like-minded entrepreneurs throughout the program. We developed relationships and support networks, and sometimes even did business with one another. For example, one night, a classmate, Ariel Mejia, with ECES, texted me, "Hey, Mike, are y'all doing environmental engineering?" "Yes, we do. What's up?" "We need an environmental firm to help with our stormwater pollution prevention plan. What do you charge for the whole enchilada?" After exchanging a few messages, "Deal, let's get started tomorrow." We helped each other to grow and have encouraged my fellow classmates to do the same. On behalf of Cohort 2, I want to say thank you, Port Houston, for this great opportunity and for advocating small minority women-owned businesses. And thank you, Mr. Roger, Ms. Maxine, Ms. Gilda, and Ms. Kanika. Thank you all for your support and coordination to help Opportunity U participants who are in the environmental industry meet with Port Houston environmental team. The meeting enabled us to introduce our firms and to learn more about Port Houston environmental team and upcoming opportunities. So in closing, I'd like to quote Alfred Lord Tennyson's poem, Ulysses: "To strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. We will all work hard and be successful." Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, it looks like our MWE program is moving right along.
Michael didn't mention that I declared him the valedictorian of Opportunity U. And they, not to diminish anyone else, they all had a great time and learned a lot.
Absolutely. We have a number of superstars in that cohort.
A lot of superstars.
And lastly, for those who may not have had a chance to view it, we'd like to share a brief video from our executive director. And I think Kelly is going to see that.
Time flies when you're making strides toward greatness in the workplace and the community. It's hard to believe, but it's already been 1 year since we celebrated the launch of our Minority and Women-Owned Business, or MWBE initiative, here at Port Houston. Hi, I'm Roger Gunther, Executive Director at Port Houston. Since July 2021, Port Houston has been creating greater opportunities for minority and women-owned businesses to participate in our procurement and
Never looked better, Roger.
Yeah, better. Better without the video, of course. We can share that. We can move on.
That's all I have.
Okay.
And I just want to say briefly, I just really want to thank everyone, because when we started this, I know sometimes it's really hard to get away from this is the way we've always done it. So I really want to thank leadership, all of the staff. Roger, the first time we had this conversation, I said it comes from the top down, and you have led. I really appreciate that. So thank you to everybody.
Well, you've done a great job as chair of that committee.
Thank you.
Appreciate what you've accomplished over there. Thank you. John Mosley, next on deck.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Michael, I love that. Strive, work hard, and we all succeed together. Wonderful. That's what it's all about. Today, the commercial division has nine items in your book. We would like to request tables H8 and H9, the two last items. We will return back next month or at the next court commission meeting to get that to get that request in. So our focus today is on H1 through 7, and I seek your approval for all seven. They're essentially routine lease agreement. What's really the big takeaway here is that you'll notice that most of them are located here in City Dock's Turning Basin and are really indicative of the strength of the steel energy general cargo facilities, right? The real estate that the port owns is here to support our core business, which is cargo crossing our docks. So we're really excited excited to put these opportunities in front of you today. Three of the requests are conversions from month-to-month leases to long-term leases. One of the requests, number four, is to ratify a month-to-month lease for Richardson. Fifth one is a lease renewal and a sublease. And then the last two are essentially amendments to extend existing leases to accommodate some infrastructure that's being constructed and installed in those two facilities for our partners, CPA. So with that, I'd like to request your approval for items H1 through H7.
Thank you, John.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
We have a motion. Do we hear a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried.
Thank you,
John. Next item on the agenda is finance, and Tim Finley will be addressing the commission this morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Tim.
Good to see you. Good morning, Chairman out there in the West. There are three finance agenda items before you this morning, all concern various treasury aspects. Item one is request the approval of the formation of a pool of transition managers in connection with the pension and OPA plans. The transition manager is simply that. In the event the Port Commission elects to terminate a specific investment manager within either of those portfolios, transition manager oversees the transition, ensures the progressive cost, ensures adequate oversight over eliminating those portfolios, transitioning to a new portfolio and a new investment manager. So that's item I-1 for you today. Item I-2 is largely administrative. It was covered yesterday in the audit committee meeting as well. It's associated with the upgrading or updating the investment policy to be more in line with the second supplemental resolution, which was issued late last year. Largely terminology, ensuring that the words in that policy are also those that you've approved in that second supplemental resolution. So largely administrative. Item I-3 lastly represents an assignment of agreements with one of our current pension plan investment managers, Smith Graham, to an acquiring firm, Loop Capital. And the legal team and our staff has been through those agreements and has approved those for you as well today. So item 1 through 3, happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Well, I appreciate the job y'all done over there with the pension fund through the choppy economic times, and we've held the funding levels nicely.
Yep. So move 1, 2, and 3.
Second. We have motion and a second on items 1, 2, and 3 under financial. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried. Next item will be infrastructure, and Harvey Ross will be addressing us this morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I'm Harvey Ross, a project manager in our Project and Construction Management Group. I'm leading some of the major items on this month's agenda. So Rich is out this week, so he asked me to present today on his behalf. A few highlights over the past month. Last week, the channel team led an extremely well-attended event at the Western Dredge Annual Conference and Expo on July 25th through the 28th. Multiple papers and panels were presented by Project 11, on Project 11 by Lori Brownell and Charlie Jacobs and the team. Keynote address was made by new Galveston District Commander Colonel Rhett Blackman and CEOs Great Lakes Dredging and Dry Dock Lance Peterson, and by Rich Burns, representing the on behalf of Port Houston. On July 14th through 15th, several members of the port, including Roger Gunther, attended the retirement of Colonel Bale and change of command ceremony for Colonel Blackman. We also had a few meetings with TxDOT this month to talk about the future of 225 and the 610 bridge. Today, there are 13 items on the agenda on the infrastructure, representing a total of $44 million in authorization. I'll highlight a few of those items. First item, 6 and 7 are for the reconstruction and material testing for container yards 4 North and 5 North at Barber's Cut.
This is part of our ongoing rehabilitation program at Bartlett Strut, which encompasses a total of 87 acres, and it's supported by an EFRA grant. The contract total value for this project is $31 million, with business equity portion at 20.2%. Item 2 and 3 are for the development of interim container yards on 14.5 acres at the west end of Bartlett Strut. We refer to these as the pop-up yards, and it's being developed on a fast track to provide relief space to handle the fast growth of container and high dwell times that the port is experiencing. Total contract value is $5 million, and again, the business equity is 20%. Finally, items 1 and 5 are two contracts to repair and upkeep our docks and fenders at the training basin for Wharf 1 and 47 and 48. These contract values are $4 million and $3.5 million respectively, and they represent investment and state of good repair and service for our customers. The business equity portion is 49% and 58% respectively. At this time, I'll take questions and I'll ask for approval on items J1 through J11.
Any questions from commissioners?
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we hear a second?
Actually, it's J.
13. 13.
I'm sorry.
1 to 13. Let the record reflect.
Right.
1 to 13. Okay.
Second.
So we have a motion on items J1 through 13. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yeah, point out that we're spending $30 million to re-roof yards north 5 and 4 and desperately needed. We're behind on it. Really. We really need that. So it's a good expenditure. It costs money, but it costs money to keep going forward.
All right. Well, we're investing in the future, so we That's appreciate right. what y'all are doing in infrastructure.
Yeah.
We'll take a vote now. All those in favor, signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the
aye.
Motion is carried. Next item is Jeff Davis in operations.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioner.
Good morning, Jeff.
Roger already touched on volume, though. I'll hit on them again. Excuse me, just a little bit. The container terminal is up 18% total CEUs. We continue to see significant volumes that staff is working very hard to accommodate. The month of June was 324,000 TEUs roundabout. That's a little less than last month, but very close to our record for monthly TEUs. And you're going to see a couple items in the agenda today. We have over $100 million that we're asking for approval in ship shore cranes and container yard cranes, and we'll touch on in a minute. But it's all to keep pace with this activity that's going on in the ask. But general cargo facilities, as Roger mentioned, that freight has doubled this year. And we have an item about a carrier that we have an agreement with, and I'll touch on that in a little bit. But our ship activity continues to be very robust. We have 28 ships in port today. The last month, we've had 25 to 30 ships in port every day. The thing that has changed a little bit is the container terminal queue has actually grown over the last month. It's been over 20 ships today. I think there are 22 ships waiting to get into our container facility today, and it's been that way pretty much most of the month. Well, cargo also had the non-container facility also has ships that are waiting sitting outside about an average of 5 to 8 daily. So these facilities are full as well. So we're working 28, 30 ships a day, and we got 28 or 30 waiting to come in. Just extraordinary, unprecedented times for our operational activity. Some of the things we've done to try to combat that, the Saturday gate continues to be underutilized. We have sought to encourage the industry to use this at a minimum of at least 50% of a normal day of transaction activity at the container facilities, and so that would put it somewhere between 6,000 to 7,000 transactions on the Saturday, and we saw 2,200 this past Saturday. We peaked at 2,800, but we have come nowhere near even a 50% day. So we're gonna have to go back to work and continue to market this thing and try to get this thing utilized. I still contend that as volumes grow, we'll never cram it in the roadways and into our facilities Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. We're going to have to get folks to participate and expand the hours.
Jeff, Exxon approached, the representative of Exxon approached me last week and asked me about the numbers, and I told him, so they're going to go to work. They started this.
We've had some regular dialogue with them, and we're trying to get them to participate as well at a higher pace, but it's been challenging. It's definitely been challenging.
Promised me that they would get an immediate attention to it. So we'll see.
Thank you for any efforts you're getting.
Yes,
I said last month I sound like a broken record talking about records. I'm only going to speak about two of them today. We saw the largest ship ever, not necessarily in dimensions, but in TEU capacity at the container facility this month, 11,000 TEUs. So to kind of put that in context, we've been servicing our largest ship that's been 8,500 TEUs to like 9,000 TEUs. This was a significant leap to see that 11,000 TEU ship. When Project 11 completes, we'll see our upper end will be 15,000 TEUs. So that 11,000 TEU was very significant. I understand the pilot that brought it up, Kevin Thompson, is with us today. And the pilot that took it out, Kevin Winninger, is with us today. So thanks, guys, for a job well done.
What ship was that, Jeff?
The, what is that weird name? significant purchase, gearing up, ramping up for all the money we've spent in the channel. We have to invest in some land side assets to ensure that we can handle that, that larger ship that we're going to see. Moving down to K-9, this is something we've never done here before, which is to strike an agreement with this is our G2 Ocean is our largest ocean carrier at the general cargo facility, and longtime partner to the port, supplied us with tonnage during downtimes and during robust times, and we've worked out a preferential berthing agreement with them, and it's a step that we're trying to make. We do some partnering at the container facilities with our ocean carriers, and we've never really done that here at the general cargo facility. In these times where a year ago we didn't have anything, you know, our tonnage was really bad, and now where there's not room for everything, it's just the right time to go out and partner with some of our ocean carriers and try to incentivize them to use our facilities and bring us more freight. Part of this agreement says that they won't call the private facilities in the Port of Houston. They'll only call our facilities. So it's really a win-win for both, and it's really a good thing for our general cargo. And I just want to touch on K-11. It's another, you might recall last month, somebody approved 700 chassis, a lease for 700 chassis is milestone. We have two other leases this month that fit that bill, and this is to store freight at our container facilities, particularly reefers in general, refrigerated cargo. So we're just continuing that program. This will bring the total to, I think, 1,113 between these three leases. Our goal is to get somewhere around 1,800 because that's how many reefer clubs that we have. But again, chassis are a scarcity in the market right now, and that's why we're taking some unusual steps to ensure that we have chassis at our facilities to store freight. So I'll ask your consideration for K-1 through K-11. If there are any questions about any other items, so we address those.
Any questions?
Yeah, I got a question. Jeff, on the chassis, I know we've leased three different sets, right? How many have we received so far?
Zero. It's going to be a process.
Yeah.
Some of them are being manufactured. Some of them are being relocated. Now that these two are underway, the last one was new chassis, and some of these are used chassis in these two.
Yeah.
So I would expect we'd see them a little sooner. But we should see as we move into the latter part of the year that we'll start really ramping up C2B chassis. They're not readily available.
No, I understand. But I thought the first bunch we bought was at least 700 used chassis.
No, those were newer chassis.
All new?
Yes. Sir.
All right. Any other questions?
So move on his recommendation.
Thank you, Clyde. We got a motion. Do we hear a second? To move on items K-1 through 11, I believe?
Yes.
And this time we'll take a vote. Any discussion?
Yes, I want to comment on 3 and 4. These are electric cranes, and I'm amazed that we didn't get a call from somebody on the environment to thank us for getting away with all the gas and trying to go electric. And I really appreciate this, and I know the people that live out there are going to appreciate it. They're going to be quieter to run, and obviously, you know, not going to be environmental friendly. I appreciate that.
Okay. Any more say anything about the cranes?
No, I think Jeff highlighted, you know, the initiatives that we have, you know, with Paulo Soros and his maintenance group to have these hybrid cranes to significantly reduce the emissions, as well as electric ship-to-shore cranes. And, you know, it's just part of our ongoing effort. You know, the goal is to, you know, have a path to getting to, you know, net carbon neutrality by 2050, and this is certainly a step in the right direction. So,
Roger. Real quick, 3, they're hybrid also.
Three is the RT.
Which one?
No, yeah.
Ship to shore.
Three are electric.
Oh, yeah.
They're electric.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are 100% electric. Number 2 are the
hybrid.
Anything else? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed, aye. The motion is carried. At this time, we'll call on my friend Captain Marcus Woodring to give us a report on the security and emergency operations.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Thank you for having me up here today. And again, I thank you for recognizing Jack Hines and his long service. We've had a, this is an update, we've had quite a year in the police department. We've had five or six other officers retire as well. Not as long tenured as Jack, but we've had quite a few retirements and quite a bit of churn in the police department this year. Today I have two items on the agenda. They're a very small percentage, not even a percentage point of your $150 million, but very important to what we do. The first is a request to purchase a restroom shower trailer for emergency operations and response. When we lose water, it's important to be able to provide bathroom facilities as well as shower facilities for people like our firefighters who remain overnight. When we rent these things, they're $10,000 a week if we can get them. The last time during the big freeze, we couldn't get one, but we were quoted $27,000 just to get it here for the first week, and then it's a minimum of 1 month rental. So for $70,000, we'd like to buy our own, one for the economics of it, and two to ensure availability. The second item on the list impacts the entire port region. It is called the port system. It's a NOAA physical oceanographic real-time system. And it's a series of sensors up and down the bay, starting out at some of the buoys and the entrance channels that do currents. They have wind, speed, and direction. They have tide levels. We have a current meter up here under the 610 bridge. The pilots use these stations extensively and constantly, as do boaters on the bay. As the Port Authority, we're the local sponsor. This will be the fourth time we've renewed the agreement for 5 years. The cost over 5 years is the $598,000 you see there. The next sentence, it says, and a net additional expenditure. I think the word additional needs to be struck there. It is not an additional expenditure, but the net to us would be the $481,000 because we have a little bit of money built up in escrow, and our first period payment will be taken care of by that overage. So we'll pay for the years 2, 3, 4, and 5. So the net expenditure to us is 481, but we need to approve the 598 because that's what's in the agreement. So are there any questions for that?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I would just say that system is very popular out there, probably more so than you really know. A lot of people use it, so I think it's a positive thing. We have a motion to approve. Do we hear a second?
A second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion is carried. And finally, we'll call on Charles Thompson to give us a technology report.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning. Fellow colleagues here report 60 seconds of a technology division request for 6 items on the agenda to be approved. This historically, these 6 items are based on annual maintenance agreements, ranging from EDI supporting for operations, software maintenance for Oracle, this thing called DNS, which turns your URL thing into an IP address that the internet can read, to email security, to firewall security, to email archival and retrieval. Those are the 6 items. If you have questions, I'd be happy to take your questions.
So moved.
Got a motion. Do we hear a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion is carried. I think that completes our agenda.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
I'd like to say something to you, Chairman. You know, we're always talking about Jeff and his staff, what kind of job those guys do. I'd like to recognize a couple of the container terminal guys here today. Ryan, who's in charge of Bayport and Barber Scud, and Paulo, who handles the maintenance. These guys has absolutely, for the last year or so, went through hell trying to keep that container terminal running and that equipment. We're running that equipment 24 hours a day, so they got to do the maintenance stuff as they go along. And under some difficult situations, they've done a great job, and I want them to be recognized.
Please stand and be recognized. And before we go into executive session, I'd like to mention one thing. Our chairman, Campo, is going to be honored at the Port Bureau dinner on August 20th. So if you don't have tickets, please plan to attend. It's going to be a great event, well-deserved. And we really appreciate your leadership, Chairman, and we're going to have a good time on August 20th. So with that, we'll move into executive session, Eric.
Yes. We'll take a recess.
Yeah, we'll take we'll take a 5-minute
break. You want to take a recess?
Authority of Harris County, Texas will now convene in a closed meeting. As permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code, to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding proposed amendment to the Agreement for Legal Services with Best, Best & Krieger, LLP, deliberate regarding real estate, economic development negotiations, employment and evaluation of public officers and employees, including deliberations regarding public employees, and security-related matters of the Texas Government Code in Section 551076 of the Texas Open Meeting Act. Court Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Yeah, they cut one.
Thank you.
So I'm going to be conducting our annual ethics training. I sent around the slides and the acknowledgement beforehand, but if anyone needs a copy of the slides, I have them here.
I can use
that.
Let me
have one. You, of course, got this approved for the Bar Association.
I also brought extra copies of the acknowledgement if anyone needs it after the training.
Yeah.
And Erica, you have the PDF, those slides?
There we go. Well, those who aren't here will have to go.
They'll have to do
it some other time.
Okay.
I just told you over your challenge. Okay.
All right. So I'll do the individual training for anyone who didn't make it. She's supposed to be here. Charlie, if you can go to the next one. All right. So let me just start with the quick overview. This is just going to give you a general overview of the Code of Ethics. I've already sent around copies and links to the full Code of Ethics and also to the business, the travel business and meal reimbursement policy. So please refer to that for more detailed overview. You can also contact me before if there's court authority attorneys, including Eric and I, if you have any questions. The code is our minimum requirement for behavior. We can always do more, always do better. All right, so statement of purpose. So the Port Authority is committed to lawful and ethical behavior in all those activities. We must place public interest above any private interest, strive to instill confidence and integrity, and gain public trust, and act in accordance with all applicable laws, regulations, and policies. So I'm going to give you sort of a brief overview of what we're covering today. So we're going to cover Article 3 of the Code of Ethics, which is the requirement to comply with all applicable laws. Article 4, which is to avoid conflicts of interest. Article 5, which is various provisions relating to not using your position to gain benefits or other personal advantage, which would include accepting gifts that could create an appearance of impropriety, misusing court authority property or information, and our nepotism provision. Also in Article 5, we're going to cover rules for former commissioners and employees, and Article 6, which is basically, boils down to don't discriminate, don't harass, and don't retaliate. Also wanted to emphasize to the senior directors that are here that there are going to be more rules for you than there will be for the court commissioners, largely based on the travel meals and business authorization and expense. Our first portion, avoiding conflicts of interest. So a conflict of interest is anything where you have a substantial outside interest plus an economic effect or an economic benefit. So a conflict of interest exists if an action taken by the court authority could have a special effect on you or a close relative, so that's at least one degree by either marriage or blood, and a business or real property, or a business or real property in which you have a close, which you or a close relative have a substantial interest. There's a reference for the provisions of the code that you can reference for more information on that. Okay. So if there is a conflict of interest that appears in a Port Commission, in a Port Authority action, then you cannot participate in that action or decision, and you need to disclose by filing an affidavit with the chief legal officer. So no participation, and there's an affidavit that you have to sign, and I believe also if that is notarized, that has to be filed with the state. So the disclosure of non-investment income, gifts and family relationships for commissioners and executive directors. So commissioner or executive director must file of the conflict disclosure if the Port Authority contracts with or considers a contract with a person from or with whom that commissioner or executive director has received taxable income other than investment income that exceeds $2,500 in a recent in the last 12-month period. Or if you've received gifts that have an aggregate value of more than $100 in a 12-month period, or if you have a family relationship. Next slide. A Port Authority employee or a commissioner cannot earn commissions or fees from Port Authority transactions. You cannot act as a surety in Port Authority projects or bonds. You cannot make any investments that could create a substantial conflict between your private interest and the public interest. And you cannot act as a lobbyist on behalf of a profession related to the operation of the Port Authority, which could be a very broad list of lobby activities. Next slide, please. Conflicts of interest. That also includes maritime trade associations. Commissioners cannot be married to an officer or an employee. For the spouse, they cannot be a manager or a consultant of a Texas trade association that is in the field of maritime commerce and whose members are regulated by the Port Authority. And I think this is sort of a bigger issue for us when we have the pilot, but I don't believe there are many organizations that would apply to now. So conflict of interest, real property disclosure. Now this one, you have to disclose if a government entity, not just the port, notice any government entity, is acquiring your property. So if you have an interest in real property that's going to be acquired with public funds, whether by purchase or by condemnation, you must file an affidavit with the clerk of the county in which you reside and all counties in which the property is located. And so again, I want to emphasize it's not just if it's Port Authority, it's any governmental entity that might condemn or purchase your property. Next slide. So abuse of public office. Commissioners shall not use their status for pecuniary gain or other benefits. And you cannot attempt to influence government decisions for your own personal gain or advantage, and you cannot otherwise bring discredit on the Port Authority. So benefits that are just an absolute rule, commissioners cannot solicit or accept any benefit in exchange for an opinion, a recommendation, an exercise of discretion or powers for your vote or a decision, and you cannot solicit or accept a benefit in exchange for any violation of a duty imposed by law. You absolutely no exception to this rule. You'll note there are some other rules for exceptions to. This is not one. Other prohibited benefits that may be subject to certain exceptions. So other than as allowed below, you can't accept benefits from parties who are or who might become interested in Port Authority action. That's going to include parties who might do business with the Port Authority, who may be subject to Port Authority regulation, inspection, investigation, or hearing. So that would include users of our facilities. You cannot any party who might attempt to lobby for, the Port Authority, any party that might receive money from the Port Authority, or be involved in litigation or a claim against the Port Authority, or be in police custody, for police custody.
What does that mean?
The in Port Police custody?
You get arrested by the Port Police?
Yes.
Yeah.
It happens. That's exactly what that means.
Yes, it happens.
Hopefully that won't happen.
Not to you.
Yeah. I think you might be in police custody at some point.
I'm sure it'll never happen.
So, exceptions.
But how is that a benefit? That's fine.
And that they may have used something to get out of police.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So other exceptions to some of the prohibited benefits is that if that exception is allowed by law or there's a legitimate consideration for it, such as you paid full price for it, so if someone offers something but you pay the value of that benefit, If the relationship is independent of your role with the Port Authority, like from a family member or a close personal friend that you've had before the Port Authority, I think in some cases it's still good to have that conversation with the chief legal officer if you're unsure if that previous relationship would grant you with any exception. But just there's that one there. And also for political contributions, I know this is an issue maybe in previous years. We are not election code specialists, but I can get someone that copy of the election code if you need it for any reason. Also for non-cash or cash or non-cash-like benefits under $50. So a cash-like benefit would be like a gift card. But if it's a non-cash benefit under $50, then that is within the exception. Other exceptions are gifts or benefits from other governmental entities. Also, certain food, lodging, transportation, or entertainment, if those are disclosed in writing to the chief legal officer and in accordance with the government code, commissioners are required to file annual financial statements that comply with subchapter B of chapter 572 of the government code. So honoraria. So commissioners generally can't accept honorarium in exchange for services performed, like if you're speaking or teaching as part of your Port Authority duties. But you can accept travel, lodging, or meals in connection with services provided, like if you're speaking in a conference or a seminar. Now we're moving on to our nepotism policy. So we cannot hire any relatives of a commissioner, and that is beyond just the close relatives. No employee involvement in the hiring of their relatives. No employee involvement in any employment decisions regarding relatives. No trading. There's an exception for personal attendance, someone who needs to accompany them or help them for special needs reasons. For employees, generally, when you're thinking about the nepotism policy, is you're not going to be in that same sort of line of employment where you could be involved in your relatives' any hiring or disciplinary or other decisions regarding that relative. Okay. So outside compensation and employment. Outside employment is permitted in limited circumstances. You cannot have outside employment that would impair the independence in performing your port duties. You can't have outside employment that would hinder your performance of port authority duties. Senior managers have to get approval from the executive director for outside employment, and the executive director needs, Roger, you're going to need port commission approval for former Port Authority commissioners and employees cannot participate in matters that they worked on while within their responsibility while at the Port Authority. Port Commission must approve certain contracts with former employees or their new employers for 12 months after their departure from the Port Authority. And for the commissioners and Roger, there's a 2-year post-service ban on communications with the intent to influence Port Commission action or Port Authority action. And this use of public property. Port Commission property cannot be used in violation of any agreement by which a commissioner or an employee holds property or any contract of employment, any law, or for the limited purpose for which the employee was provided, to which the property was provided to the commissioner or employee. Discounts, awards, coupons for travel, things like that are not considered Port Authority property for the purpose of this provision. And we're nearing the end, so stick with me. All right, so misuse and disclosure of official information. The commissioners cannot solicit, obtain, or use or disclose confidential Port Authority information to help or obtain property or some other benefit, to coerce someone into holding back information from a law enforcement agency, or to harm or defraud another person or entity. Discrimination, harassment, reporting, retaliation, policy of Port Authority to promote an atmosphere of respect, equality, and safety, and with that, to prevent discrimination and harassment. So we've got an equal opportunity and retaliation policy that much of you would be familiar with. We have got, have an unlawful harassment policy and a misconduct reporting policy. Basically, the short version is don't discriminate, don't harass. We report any discrimination or harassment and no retaliation for any reporting that has occurred. In the instance of misconduct, it's reported promptly, it will be investigated fully and addressed appropriately. And in terms of retaliation, any acts of retaliation against a commissioner or an employee reporting misconduct are strictly prohibited. So the last slide, I believe, will be penalties for violations. So in addition to any other penalties that may be imposed by law, which includes the criminal law within the criminal code, or any other port authority policies, will include for commissioners, an official reprimand or a recommendation for removal from office by majority of a quorum of the court commission. For employees, it could include reprimand, suspension, or dismissal from employment. And for contractors taking part in any violation of the code of standards, contract termination and exclusion from future port authority business. That was our last slide. Your ethics training is now completed. If you have any questions,
well, thank you, Catherine. That was a great job.
Yes, you can
electronically
sign also
if
you still have the email.
What is this? Oh, that we signed. Okay. Any commissioner have anything else they'd like to bring up before we adjourn?
No.
Hearing none, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
So moved.
Motion made, seconded to adjourn. All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
That's a great meeting. I appreciate all the participation and look forward to our next meeting. I guess it'll be in September.